Welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with Edward Moya. He is the chief market strategist over at Oanda. And Ed, I want to start with kind of a general broad comment that is really just driving home the fact that the economic data has been weak around the world. And that was only further driven home by some of that credit data out of China that, again, is just in line with this overall slowdown. But that then has turned central banks around the world more dovish. While we can argue that certain central banks are more dovish than other ones, even though a lot of these central banks are on pause, the fact of the matter is, it seems like any rate hikes that, I guess if we were talking 4 months ago, would have seemed like we would have had a couple at least coming from the Fed, now they're all pretty much off the table. What do you have to say about just this general slowdown around the world, which has already turned a lot of central banks dovish?
Hey, great to be back on, and you hit the nail on the head. Right now, we are seeing the dove fly. They're all the major central banks from the advanced economies and also from China have basically cemented that view that we are not going to see any rate hikes or tightening via other measures, and the expectations now are for no change in policy stances for most of these economies, and with that, you've had that really kind of alleviate these slower global growth concerns that, you know, did hurt the stock market over the past couple of weeks. So the central banks are going to be there to provide support for the economy, and that's why we are seeing some optimism here. And then ultimately, when you take a look at the interest rate differentials, with no one, the market has heavily priced in the overall direction of where rates are. So with the Fed, you know, as you mentioned, the rate hike expectations are gone. The next move is expected to be a cut. China is going to wait until the trade war provides some clarity as far as, you know, how much monetary stimulus they've already over the past week in their National People's Congress Summit just unveiled their fiscal stimulus. So we know China's there. Last week, the ECB announced new loans for the banks. So that's their fresh stimulus, which pretty much signals that, that last rate hike for Draghi to finish out his term this year is not going to be able to be going with a rate hike. So the ECB is on hold well deep into next year. And then the other respectable banks, the RBA, the RBNZ, they're also on hold. So is the Bank of Canada. And surprisingly, with Brexit, the Bank of England is going to be probably the only bank that you'll see possibly raising rates. And the UK economy's been, you know, they had the big blow from Brexit, and that you know is not a strong signal as far as the strength of the UK economy. It's just playing catch up there. So everyone's going to be on hold or possibly cutting, and that's why we're seeing that kind of overall support there for equities whenever we do see sell-offs.
So, Ed, I think that you can make the argument that even though these central banks are turning more dovish, they're not fully on board with bringing out, say, new and very aggressive QE plans. It's almost like they're trying to tinker around the edges with maybe some different type of loans and smaller amounts rather than simply just having to dump, again, more money into these markets. Do you think it's going to be enough, though, to stop the overall slowdown, or are they just delaying the inevitable, and that is much, much larger QE programs?
I think that's where the path that right now these central banks are kind of signaling that they know that it's going to be tough to rely on government to deliver fiscal stimulus for the Fed. It's going to be difficult for them to foresee that this current administration is going to be able to, you know, unveil new infrastructure deals that will get approval in Congress. So the Fed is going, they're kind of, their hand has been forced here. And when you take a look at the ECB, they're also in a similar boat where they know that it's a lot more complicated for them. They have too many key countries that are either in recession, about to go in recession, and the only way that they can, and they know that their governments, because you know they're all tied to the ECB, they're going to need to have that accommodative stance for everyone, and you're going to see more skepticism as the markets go around. This go around as far as more of QE, and each time we saw QE, you know, QE1, QE2, there was just less effectiveness in this. So you're exactly right to highlight that, you know, this, we've been here before, and while there is concern as far as, you know, how is this global growth going to ease up, you know, the expectations are, though, that this trade deal will remove a major headwind. And last year, the key headwinds for the equity markets, we had the Fed tightening. We had the credit crunch. We had the deleveraging moment in China, where, you know, they were really at their last year's policy summit, they were really focusing on deleveraging. And that, you know, has been pretty much alleviated right now. We see China coming more back to the table. The Fed removed those pretty high expectations. And if we do get a trade deal that will make the markets believe that we're not just going to see it be a Band-Aid and have us, you know, come back in 3 months where the U.S. is implementing punitive tariffs because China's not obeying the agreement, you know, there is going to be a definite relief rally here and easing of those global economic concerns, and we'll have the triple down effect to the emerging markets, and that should provide enough of a catalyst to help, you know, keep the rally going in equities. But there's lots of tail risk out there, and that's why you're seeing a lot of skepticism, and that's why we haven't really seen a strong attempt to, you know, recapture those highs that we saw at the end of the third quarter.
Yeah, there's still a lot of fear in these markets. And you brought up the trade deal. Even if there is a trade deal, people are going to look at it very suspiciously, too, to make sure that everything that the president promised is going to be in there. And quite frankly, that seems very difficult for him to deliver. We've even seen the markets react less and less to some of the positive statements coming out of the government regarding a potential trade deal. It's really going to be interesting to see how the markets react when there is some deal signed. Let's also get a quick comment on the overall budget and what could be coming up is a debt ceiling debate, another potential government shutdown. These seem to be very short-lived and don't really have a major impact on the markets, but they are talked about by a lot of people. What do you think, Ed? Do you think the upcoming whatever deal might be had for the debt ceiling, do you think it's going to have an impact on these markets?
Everyone is expecting that Congress is going to eventually, you know, they're going to fund the government. We're not going to see the U.S. default on their debt. There is a, you know, great uncertainty as far as what will the Democrats agree upon, and I think that as we get closer to 2020, everyone is just fighting for political capital. So everyone is just going to try to control the narrative as far as what is agreed upon, and the end result is we're probably going to see this, unfortunately, go down to the wire. You're going to see that priced in when we take a look at the yields in the treasuries, and there is going to be that uneasiness. But the overall expectation is that they won't let things, come to that point where they do miss a deadline, and the battle as far as the budget and trying to get what the president wants and his goals as far as increasing it for his border wall, for the cuts to non-defense spending, it's really going to be heavily debated, heavily discussed, and in the end there'll most likely be some stopgaps put in place, and we'll probably not really see anything of substance come out of this administration until, you know, we're through the election. The thoughts of an infrastructure deal are long gone. The president right now is just going to try to do whatever he can to keep the economy strong, because right now his approval rating, we've seen other Republican presidents have approval ratings at these levels, but their ratings when they were trying to get reelected were during recessionary periods, and right now the president is I'd say we are still far from a recession. You know, yes, the data is weakening. Yes, there is concern. So the president is going to try to do everything in his power to make sure this economy does not fall into a recession. And that's going to be tough. We're probably going to see the data to continue to weaken next year. And right now, the timing of the recession might not be ideal for him as we get closer to the election.
Yeah, it really seems like just trying to keep that ball rolling, trying to kick that recession as far down the road as they can and hope that maybe some black swan in a positive nature helps to spark global growth again. Let's also wrap it up with a quick comment on the precious metals. Gold took it's been a back and forth market for gold, but I think it was about a week and a half ago on Friday, it did get hit. And it is back below 1,300. It's not falling out of bed, but again, it disappointed the bulls by not breaking out to the upside. Where do you stand looking at the gold market, understanding all these global fears and the dovishness of central banks, but still not seeing the metal breaking out any significantly higher levels?
It's amazing how gold has been trading, and the hopes of the trade deal to actually take place are really what's been hurting the precious metal, and I think right now normally when we do see such a strong switch of accommodative expectations from the ECB, from the PBOC, from the Fed, you would be surprised to see gold where it is right now, and that it should be higher. I think once we get past that trade deal, whether it's a disappointment, whether it is some type of a framework agreement that, you know, has us revisit the terms in the near future, or the case for disappointment is so strong right now that ultimately that could be a good catalyst for gold, because right now it seems that the market. And when you look at equities, there is that strong belief that, you know, China needs to, they do not want their economy to further weaken right now. They're very concerned. The downgrade of their economic growth targets was very significant, and when China downgrades their growth target, that's something that really catches eyes, and things are most expected to be worse than what they say. So there's going to be a lot of strong catalysts as far as what can help take this precious metal higher. But it's got to weather the storm. And the problem for gold right now is it did break through some very strong key technical levels. And once we do see that, you could see that momentum accelerate. So if the longer gold stays below 1,300, the more scared I get. So that 1,280 level is very key. And eventually, you know, 1,250 is going to be major support. Right now, gold is going to be kind of most likely to be range bound until we see that conclusive decision on that trade deal. So, the expectation is that I really believe that we will see an agreement, but there will be lots of caveats that, you know, markets will kind of try to rip it apart.
All right, Ed, we're going to wrap it up there. Thank you for your comments on a number of different markets, but really just understanding what's going on globally with this slowdown and how the central banks are trying to get ahead of any major collapse. But the question is just, what are they going to have to do to keep that ball rolling? Ed, good chatting with you. Again, Ed writes for the OANDA website. I will post a link below this interview. Have a great rest of your week there, Ed.
Thank you. You too.